James chapter 1, we'll read together on the first four verses tonight. So again, a short passage, let's read all four verses together. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Lord, again, how precious your words are. Thank you that we hold them in our hands tonight. May we, Lord, just soak up everything, receive what you have for us, fill our preacher with your spirit. Lord, as he preaches the message you've laid on his heart, meet with us, please. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity and for the privilege to be here. Meet with us again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you so much. You may be seated.
Walking away from a problem never solved one. You probably know that from life experience. Walking away from a problem never solved one. Problems and trials and tribulations, they're all part of life, even and perhaps especially for the child of God. Many today have an old illustration that I gave many years ago, or like the little train that you'd wind up, and it had a little carriage on the bottom of it where the wheels would turn, and you turn it on and it would go until it hit a wall, and then that little carriage on the bottom would turn and the little train would move away from the wall until it found another obstacle, and then the little thing on the bottom would turn again and it would turn away, and it never really got where it wanted to go because it was always walking away from the obstacles that were there. And so I have said for many years now, and I will say it, I guess, until the Lord Jesus takes me home, but never waste a good trial, because you might miss a great blessing. Never waste a good trial, because you might miss a great blessing. And I mentioned to someone recently, I don't remember who it was, and it's not important who I mentioned it to, but the trials will either make you bitter or the trials will make you better. And we've heard that for years, but until we go through our trials, we don't really understand it. But trials make you bitter, or trials make you better. It all depends on how you react to your trials, like that little train that hit the wall and the little carriage would turn and then the train would go another direction until it hit another obstacle. But it never really got where it needed to go because it was always turning away from its problems, the things that kept it from going forward. Many believers today fail the test of their faith simply by not knowing the biblical remedy for it. And believe it or not, in the Word of God, there's an answer for all of our problems. And it's in there. It honestly is. But yet, I think we want another way out. We want another philosophy. We want another book. We want another whatever it might be to get us away from our trials and our tribulations. But it doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. And just remember, before there was ever a psychology book or a philosophy book or there was a parachurch organization that might work with local churches, it would have counselors and all the rest of it. Before there was any of that, there was the Bible. They didn't have bookstores like what we have today. And so when you think about that, all they had was the Word of God, and God got them through with simply the Word of God. And the problem today is we either don't know what the Bible says, or we ignore what the Bible says, or we have forgotten in our trial what the Bible says. And there is a remedy for that. And James chapter 1 is a marvelous reminder of that. And as I've said many times, you are either in a trial, just got out of a trial, or you're headed dead forward to one. But you're never going to erase them out of your life because that's not the way life is. Life is just full of one trial and one hardship after another. And so, we read a moment ago about these Christians that were scattered abroad. That's because people were out to kill them, and they were scattered. They were not all gathered together like they once were. And so this letter was written to those who were under persecution and under hard times and under pressure. And the apostle here gives them, James gives them good advice. But I want to remind all of us, this is not just James speaking here. This is James under the influence of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And those words are all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It was given to us for that. So James may have written the words, but the Spirit of God gave him the words to write down. And so they are trustworthy and they are true. So if you have read through this and you maybe even have notes in your Bible that might even correspond with what I'm going to give you tonight, what I want to say is falling apart, we don't need to do that, or fall together. Everything's working together for good to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. And we have to keep that in mind. God knows what He is doing. We don't, but God does. We must keep that in mind. If you're taking notes, when things fall apart, count it all joy. James 1, verses 1 and 2. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are under persecution, are scattered abroad. Hard times have come to them. Remember, those are important words that are, it gives us a context of why he's giving this advice. And he said to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy. When things fall apart, count it all joy. I don't have anything to rejoice or joy about. You're sure you do. It's really interesting. I taught many, many years ago that little word where it says count. It's a, Brother Penn, you know this. It's a mathematical term. It means add things up. Add things. That's what we forget in trials. We forget all the things that are added together to help us to get through that trial. And he says, you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Many of the Jewish people who had become Christians had their entire world fall apart. Acts chapter 8, if you have your Bibles there, we can go back and I'll give you the background of this. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And there is an important word that I want to give you, and I want you to see it, okay? That's why I want you to turn, if you can, and look at it. And it says in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Now stop right there. I want now you to look down at the next word. The next word is therefore. They that were scattered abroad went about everywhere discouraged, crying, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Is that what your Bible says? That's not what mine says. Mine says that under that kind of persecution, they went out and spread the word of God. Isn't that amazing? It didn't stop them at all. There, and that little word, therefore, that's the word I wanted to emphasize to you. Because of what was going on, therefore, it says that they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Their word? No. Talking here about the word of God. You see, God gave them instructions of what to do during hard times. And these were Jewish believers living outside of Palestine. And as Christians, they were persecuted for their faith. Notice that the Bible says that they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. They were scattered out, running for their lives. What do you want to call it? I mean, they were scattered because of their faith, because of their practicing of Christianity with of the Lord Jesus. And James was writing to this special group of believers. Now, today we read that, whether we're going through trials or not. Am I right? We read the book of James. You don't have to be going through a hard time to read the book of James. But James wrote to a specific group of people who were suffering for their faith, not because they had done anything wrong, but because they followed the Lord Jesus. And that's who he wrote to. Now, we read it and say, well, yes, we should do that. But that's what he instructed them to do. And very interesting, you have your Bible there. Go to Acts chapter 5. I want you to see this. It says of this, it says of the persecuted apostles. Notice what it says. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, had beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, what was they saying? They were speaking by the authority of Jesus. That goes all the way back to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, where Jesus said, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then he said, because I have that power, I give that responsibility to you. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. And so they were simply fulfilling Matthew 28 and verse 18. And it goes on and says, and then they let them go after they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily and in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Sounds exactly like what we read a moment ago in Acts chapter 8. They were scattered abroad and went out and preached the word. They were having a difficult time and they went out and preached the word. They were being persecuted for their faith, but they went out and preached the word. And here the same thing, they commanded them that they were not allowed to any more speak in the very authority or the name of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus had already given a commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. They were simply doing what Jesus had commanded them to do. Christ suffered for us. And I did not know how to phrase the next sentence. In fact, just before the service, as I was going over my outline for tonight, I thought, I wondered if I should change the next phrase. As you know, those of you who receive my outlines, I write things out. And as I looked at that, I thought, and this morning I went through the same thing as I was going over my notes for tonight. And here's what I wrote and decided not to change it. Christ suffered for us, and we should be willing to endure some hard things for him. We should be willing to suffer some hard things for him. Count what? Add it up. What is there to rejoice about during hard times? I wrote down just a few things. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I practice these. 100% of the time? No, I'm not that good of a Christian. But much of the time. What can you count up that's a blessing? Well, understand that God is in complete control of the situation, always has been and always will be. Nothing takes him by surprise. God never says, oh, I did not know that. I am so surprised. I cannot believe that. Nothing. He never says anything like that. He knows the beginning from the ending, as my pastor taught me when I was just a young kid. He said, the Lord knows the beginning from the ending and the ending from the beginning. Secondly, understand that God will use this trial to perfect me for his honor and glory. Psalm 138 and verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He will use this trial unless you quit. Thirdly, clay is formed into a usable vessel by pressure from the hand of the potter. Jeremiah chapter 18. Next, the clay vessel then has to go through the intense heat of the kiln before it's fit for use. You take a hunk of clay and you form it into a vessel and then try to use it before it goes through the kiln. All it's going to do is collapse and fail. It has to go through the fire. Christine Wurtzen sang a song called The Fire. I've been through a fire, she sang. Beautiful song, tremendously convicting message. And then the last one that I wrote down is that stone becomes a beautiful sculpture by the hand of the sculptor chipping away at the stone. Chipping away at the stone. Holy. Count what? All these blessings? These are the things you can say what God is doing. Listen, God, if you're a Christian, you're alive. I mean, you are born again. Jesus is in your life. You trusted Christ as your Savior. God is at work in you. Don't ever forget that. God's own people need to learn to count. And many subtract instead of add. And you can only subtract so much until you end up with nothing. You end up with a negative. And we sit around and have nothing to rejoice over. But James taught us different. So what's another part of that formula that he gave us for these Christians who were scattered abroad? Well, when things fall apart, be patient and waiting for God to work. Be patient and waiting for God to work. Lord, I want patience. Give it to me now. That's how we are. It doesn't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, do we really know this? I think I'm asking that question tonight. Do we really know this? That the trying of our faith worketh patience. That's what he said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, I want you to look at a single word here, if you would. Look at the word where it says, but let. That little word, let. Do you write in your Bibles? Do you take notes anywhere? That little word, let, you ought to circle it. This is what it means. The deaf had it right. When they would sing, I surrender all, their hands were up, their hands were off of the situation. And that's what the word let means. It means to allow it to happen. Don't hinder it. Take your hands off of it. Now somebody goes and what does a crook say to somebody when he wants to rob him? He says, stick them up. Stick them up. Stick what up? My nose? No. Stick your hands up. Why? Away from your body, away from his body, away from your gun, away from your knife, away from your defense. Put your hands up. And God says here, put your hands up. He says, allow patience to have its perfect work, its maturing work in your life. And if patience is to have its perfecting way in you, you have to allow it to do so. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. He's not talking about here of not sinning anymore. And I remember as a younger Christian, I used to think that meant that I could escape every sin. That's not what it's talking about. The temptation that it's speaking of here is in our lives, being able to go through the trials and escape the trials with God's help to get through to the other side. Let me read it again. There hath no temptation taken you. There has no trial overcome you. There is no trial that has come into your life, the Bible teaches. There is no temptation taking you. In other words, it's what everybody goes through. But then here's what he said. But God is faithful during that tribulation, during that trial. God is faithful, who will not suffer. That word suffer there means allow. He will not allow you to become tempted or tested above your ability, you see. Now, sometimes we get ourselves into an ability like that where it's more than we can handle, but God will never do it. But that's not talking about sin. It's talking about going through a trial. Though it sometimes seems hard to believe, God is bigger than any one of our problems. To be patient means to abide under the load, to abide under the load. And the Romans 5, you have your Bibles there. I've got a number of things that I want to read to you tonight. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, the Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul even said that he had learned to glory in infirmities. Have you ever wondered what it meant to glory in an infirmity? The Bible says it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. The word glory here is used, again, it's a descriptive thing, to brag on what God can do through you in a trial. Let me read it that way. And it says here in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather show you what God can do. Glory in mine infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I think that's an amazing truth. And if we're going to make it when things around us are falling apart, we got to learn to count and be patient. Thirdly and lastly, when things fall apart, seek help from the mind of God. Why is he always the last one that we call on? James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. God will never scold you for not having wisdom. He will scold you for not asking for wisdom when you need it. That's just it. If somebody hasn't learned something, you don't get scolded for what you don't know. But you can get scolded for ignoring what you know. And let me read the verse again. If any of you, that little word if, you know, it's a Greek word that's translated if or since. And it carries with it that there are areas in our lives that we don't have wisdom. But not in every area. If you're a Christian being saved for a long time, there are areas where you have wisdom. You're not ignorant and dumb as a fence post just because you're a Christian. There are things that you learn along the way. And so it says, if any of you lack wisdom, it's talking about if there are areas in your life where you don't have the wisdom that you need, and here's the instruction, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. If you have no answers, you need to go to the one who has the answer. You need to go to one that has the answers. As I was reviewing my notes, I remember at one point I put a capital O on one and a capital W on who, but that's not what I meant to say. You go, like for example, having a number of people that you might consult with. My dad was one of my counselors. Brother Casey was one of my counselors. He is not a capital O or a capital W. He's just a human being. And so when you don't have the wisdom, you can go to somebody that has the wisdom. So I kept it as a small O and a small W on one who, meaning there are human instruments from whom you can get wisdom because they've been there and done that. It may be a godly counselor, or if he gets stumped, we know the Lord always has the answer. And he's the capital O and the capital W, you see. Ask God to show you what to do. That's what James says. These Jews that were scattered abroad because of their faith, he said, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. He'll help you through this. You don't have to go without wisdom in a situation like this. God, by the way, is a great opportunist. I had someone a number of years ago say to me directly to my face, he said, God is not a great opportunist. And I thought, wow, what kind of faith is that you're talking about? No, God is a great opportunist. You know why? Because we mess up. And God can take our messed up pages in our life, and he can make those, all things can work together for good to those who love the Lord. And all, he can take a bad situation, and he can turn it into something good and glorifying to himself. He is a great opportunity. You make a mistake, God doesn't throw you out, you see. He doesn't throw the baby out with the dirty diaper. He doesn't roll the Rolls Royce over the edge of the cliff because it's got a dirty ashtray. No, he takes a situation like that, and he builds something and makes something good from it. Say, how do you know that? We're not going to go there tonight. But Jeremiah chapter 18, what happened to the clay? Where was it marred? It was marred in the hands of the potter. And what did God say? Well, I'll just throw this one away and get rid of it. No, he didn't do that at all. He says, no. He said he made it again another vessel. He took what was there, what was left, and made it into a vessel for God's honor and glory. So I say once again, God is the great opportunist. And he can use any trial in your life, any trial in my life to help any one of us to become more like the Lord Jesus. And remember, don't waste a good trial. You might miss a great blessing, you see. And that's what God can do. So, I want to close this message by giving you this piece of advice. Trials are no guarantee that you will become more like Jesus. No guarantee there at all. None. And the reason for that is that if you do the right thing in your trial, you will become more like Jesus when it's all over with. If you don't do the right thing in a trial, just leave Jesus completely out of the picture. There's even a reward for those who go through a dark tunnel of trials and come out on the other side. James chapter 1, back there again, and verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And these Jews had, they were enduring great tribulation as they were scattered abroad everywhere. Understand that. And he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There's even a reward for going through it with God's help. Of course, the one story that comes to my mind is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through their fiery furnace, and the only thing that the fire burned off were the bonds that held them, burned off their ropes, and they came out not even smelling like smoke. Why? Because there was a fourth one in the furnace with them, and it was the Son of God. So the question I ask at the end of this is, what is your trial right now? Do you have one, or do you have many, and are you scattered because of the trial of your faith? Well, first of all, learn to count and add things up. Learn to be patient and ask God for His wisdom in the matter. And God will bless you for trusting Him throughout the hard times. And remember who James gave this advice to. Believers that were scattered because of their faith. None of us are scattered because of our faith. So this is good advice for all of us. But you know, there's probably a lot of people in our country right now who are scattered because of their faith. And we know there's plenty around the world who are scattered because of their faith. But since we're not scattered because of our faith, the truth of the matter is we can use the advice that's given here for every trial that comes our way, every single, and those who trust Him wholly will find Him wholly true.